violence. Out of 50 cities, the top 50 most dangerous cities in the entire world, 22 of those cities are in Brazil. Brazil has the highest murder rate in the world, 60,000 last year. If you combine the United States, Canada, Russia, Europe, North Africa, Australia, New Zealand, all those countries combined are 59,000. Brazil was labeled as the most dangerous country outside of a known war zone. And as people see the videos of Brazil and they see what Brazil's like and the way the people are and what you have to deal with, the constant fear and violence and aggression that's down there, people ask me, why in the world are you there? Why in the world do you take your family there? And I believe that's a legitimate question. And I want to take a moment and I want to, from God's word, answer that question. Why do we do missions? I want to read to you briefly here an interview. And I'm not going to say who it was, but it's between a very well-known Baptist pastor and Robert Schuller. And this Baptist pastor has widely been renowned throughout our circles and throughout the U.S. and around the world. And everyone looks to him as a leader for our people, for our group of Baptists. And he did an interview with Robert Schuller. And in this interview, this Baptist preacher said, well, Christianity and being a true believer, you know, I think that there's the body of Christ. And this comes from all Christian groups around the world, out and even outside of Christian groups. I think anybody that loves Christ or knows Christ, whether they're conscious of it or not, they're members of the body of Christ. And I don't think that we're going to see any great sweeping revival that will turn the world to Christ at any one time. Jesus Christ is calling the people out of this world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world or they're Buddhists or they're Christians or they're even non-believing. They are all members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts that they need something that they don't have. And they turn to the only light that they may have. And I think that they're saved and that they're going to be in heaven with us. And Robert Schuller replied, and he was dumbfounded, and he replied, he says, well, I hear you say that it is possible for Jesus Christ to come into human hearts and soul and life, even if they've been born in darkness and have never been exposed to a Bible. Is that a correct interpretation of what you're saying? And this Baptist preacher said, yes, it is, because I believe that. I've met people in various parts of the world and in tribal situations that they have never seen a Bible or heard about a Bible. They've never even heard the name of Jesus, but they believed in their heart that there was a God, and they've tried to live a life that was different from their surrounding community in which they live. And Robert Schuller stumbled over his tongue and said, I'm so thrilled to hear you say this. There's such a wideness in God's mercy. And this preacher said, there is. There definitely is. Now let that sink in. And if I mention this preacher, your jaws would drop, and some of you may actually get angry with me. But these are his words. And later on, and this sentiment was echoed all the way back since 1960 from this man. So this is nothing new. And as we look at that, then we have to come back to the situation. We have to ask, then why even do missions? Let's think about this for a minute logically. Say, for example, that I go ahead and I get my Bible and I take my family and we train for the ministry, we prepare, we go to college, we learn God's word, we raise what we need to go there, and we go to the foreign field and I come across this person in darkness and I preach to him, Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. And then that national looks at me and says, no, I don't believe that. And he rejects it. What have I just done? I've just condemned his soul to hell. Because now, hearing the name of Jesus Christ, he has rejected Jesus Christ, and it would have been better that I had never gone there in the beginning. If he would have just been believing in something else, and what he's saying is that this person, that God will take his faith in whatever he believes in and transfers it to Jesus Christ, and he'll be in heaven. And so then that brings us back to the key question, then why even do missions? Why do we even do what we do? Why do we spend the money that we spend? Why do we spend our lives that we spend? Why do we go through all the training and preparation and the heartache and the trials and the tribulations? Why do we do all this then if it's not even needed? Turn over your Bibles with me to Romans chapter 10. And we're going to take a look at a couple passages this morning that answer the why of missions. Why do you guys support missionaries? What is the purpose of doing this? Why do we as missionaries go? Romans chapter 10, let's go ahead and start in verse 9. The Apostle Paul says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew or the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I get an amen? How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. I pray now that as we go into your word today, I pray that you will give me the words to say. Help me to say what your word says, explain what it means, and trust your spirit to do the rest. Lord, I pray that you will touch my body. Give me the strength of voice that I need to proclaim your word this morning, Father, and we'll give you the glory for it. In your name we pray. Amen. Now, as we take a look at this passage this morning, we see three key reasons why we have to do missions. Three key elements in doing missions. Number one is that there is a message, folks. We have a message, hallelujah. We have a message that can change the world. And we need to get that message out. And that we have a message. And we see first and foremost that this message is exclusive. In verse 9 it says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. It did not say, I don't see anywhere in there about Buddha or Allah or any other religion in the world. There's only one name given among heaven whereby ye must be saved, Acts 4. And that name is Jesus Christ. For neither is there salvation in any other name. Our message is exclusive. They cannot trust in wooden idols. They cannot trust in stone. They cannot trust in the sun, moon, and star. The only way to heaven is to trust in Jesus Christ alone and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, and then they can be saved. But we also see that this message is universally offered. Because the Bible says in verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 12, for there's no difference between Jews or Greeks, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon his name. I'll tell you this morning, it doesn't matter who you are, where you're from. I grew up in Eastside Detroit. Most of you probably grew up in this area of your lives or traveled around the world. Some of you guys may be from other countries. Some of you guys may be from other races. Some of you guys may be from other religions. It doesn't matter. Because God is not a respecter of persons. He is rich unto all that call upon his name. And if you were without Jesus Christ this morning, and you come to Jesus Christ, and you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, and you believe that God raised him from the dead for your sins, the Bible says you will be saved. We have a message for the world. Hallelujah. Number one, we have a message. But number two, to complete missions, we need a messenger. That's why the Apostle Paul says, and then logically, how can they call upon him of whom they've not believed? But how can they believe on him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How in the world can we expect someone in the darkest parts of this earth, darkest parts of this world, to call upon Jesus Christ if they don't even hear about Him? And how can they hear about Him if someone won't tell them? We need messengers. We need missionaries. What does it take to be a missionary? Number one, you have to be called of God. Paul says, I thank Jesus Christ. I thank God who put me into the ministry. Number two, you have to have a desire to serve the Lord in full-time ministry. You have to say, this is what I want to do with my life, and there's nothing else in this life that will satisfy my heart than to share God's word with these people. Number three, you have to have a willingness to suffer for Jesus Christ. You know, I think one thing that's blown my children away, and even me as we come back to the States, they've seen death in Brazil. They've seen bodies on the side of the road. They've seen bodies with dripping blood wheeled into the hospitals. They've seen the violence that is there. They've seen the hardship, the starvation, the homeless children on the road. We pass almost every day. And then they come back to the States, to our youth groups, in our Baptist churches. And they're more concerned about getting unfriended on Facebook than they are about the souls going to hell overseas. We have people in the States that they would not give up anything in this States to go overseas and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given you guys wealth like you can't understand. I mean, this building, this church right here, this right here, you would fit 20 Brazilian families in it. And they would share it. And they would eat one piece of bread, one piece of meat, and one piece of cheese for their food. And they don't even have cars. If they're lucky, their electricity comes on and goes off 6 times a day. Where we live, our water gets turned on 1 time every 3 days. We don't have hot water heaters. These are all things that missionaries go through that today's society, today's generation is not ready for. And that's from the previous generation's fault. We have allowed a generation to rise up who knows nothing of suffering. A generation whose only desire is me first and my comforts. We need a generation that is willing and ready to serve the Lord no matter what the cost. We need a generation that is called of God. We need a generation that has a desire, they're willing to suffer. I remember back in the early 1900s in America, we had colleges and Bible training institutes filled with young men singing Onward Christian Soldier with Bible in hand and a pine box with them as they're on the ship going overseas because they knew they would most likely die in 2 years. Those voices are silent now. They need to be willing to endure hardships. We need missionaries that they have a heart for the people. That say, no matter what you do to me, I will still love you and I will still preach Jesus Christ to you. No matter how many times you mock me, how many times you steal from me or rob from me, I will still love you. Even if you hold a knife to my throat and want my wallet, I will give it to you and still love you. That's what we need on the field today. We need missionaries that are prepared, that know God's word inside and out. Today's young person doesn't know enough scripture to fill a thimble, much less take it overseas. We need, finally, and how shall they preach except they be sent? We need missionaries that are sent by churches. Folks, I'll just be honest. One of the reasons why we're not seeing missionaries come up nowadays is the fact that churches are letting off the gas pedal when it comes to sending. I was sharing with Brother Andy over here. Pastor friend of mine, Brother Bill Russell, gave me a list of 20 men to call. You want to know how many churches I got in? Zero. Out of those 20 men that I called, I only got through to actually 5, maybe 7. Sorry, we're not bringing any new missionaries in. And of the other remaining 15, I called those people 5 times at least each. I sent an email. I left 2 messages.
on an answer machine, and I even left messages with their family members or assistants or secretaries. And not a single one ever called me back. And I'll tell you what, the younger generation, they see that and they go, you know what? Churches today don't care. They don't care. And I'm challenging you, be a church that cares. How can we as missionaries, we have the message right here. We have been trained, we're ready, we're prepared, we're ready to go. And we need churches that will rise up and say, we will send them. But that's going to take sacrifice. God has blessed you with an overabundance of wealth. Is wealth wrong? No, because God blessed you with it. But listen, there will be a reckoning. And God will ask you, what did you do with the wealth that I gave you? How many souls are in this kingdom because of the wealth I gave you? God didn't give you what he gave you so that you can just live a comfortable life on this earth and then eventually go home to glory. He gave you the wealth that he gave you so you can bless others. That's the whole purpose in Acts. Read what happened in Acts. That the Holy Ghost came, revival set, they went out to the outermost parts of the earth, and people were selling lands and possessions and everything else because they realized, is there not a cause? And thus birth missions. There must be a message. There must be a messenger, and that messenger needs to be sent. But then again, why do that if they're going to be saved anyway? Why do that if they're going to be saved anyway? I'll tell you with two verses, I'll tell you why. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Take a look at verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith. And then not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So here we have the key components, the recipe for salvation. Number one, for by grace are you saved through faith. Grace is that element that God gives for mankind to be saved. God is constantly bestowing his grace upon the sinner's heart. And if you've been in here for weeks or years or your whole lifetime, God has been showering his grace upon you so that you might be saved. And if you are rejecting that grace, one day there will come a point when God will no longer extend that grace to you. And he will, as Moses, as Noah, in the time of Noah, shut the door and you'll be on the outside pounding, wanting to get in. You'll be as Pharaoh, who throughout the whole scripture of Moses, the Bible says, Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh said no. And finally, at the last, you know what the Bible says? God hardened Pharaoh's heart. There will come a point where God's grace is no longer going to be there for you. And you've said no for the last time. Salvation is only by God's grace. But grace alone cannot save you. Well, then how do you get saved? It is grace through the channel, through the oven of faith. Yes, you have to have God's grace, but you have to exercise that grace through faith. That's how you're saved. Okay, so then grace comes from God, but then where do I get faith? I'm glad you asked. Turn back to Romans chapter 10. Should have told you to leave your finger there. Romans chapter 10. He says, and how shall they preach except they be sent? And then look down at verse 17. So then faith, the one prerequisite for getting saved, faith, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you are in this world. But if you don't hear this book, you won't get saved. You can try to live a good life. You can place your faith in stone or tree or sun and moon and stars. But unless you get out of God's word the grace that you need to be saved, you will not be saved. And that's the same for you. And it's the same for the nationals all around the world. Unless somebody, because that national on the foreign field, he can have all kinds of general revelation. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter a speech. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech where their voice is not heard. The sun is as a bridegroom, mighty and powerful. There is general revelation that they see. But they cannot be saved by that general revelation. That's why the next verse, the psalmist says, the law of the Lord is perfect. What's the next word? Converting the soul. The law of the Lord, the specific revelation of the Word of God, is the only thing that can save a person. And that, my brothers and sisters, is why we do what we do. Because unless someone knows this message, and they prepare themselves, and they grab this message, and they're sent by you, and they take this message overseas to someone who has not heard it, that person cannot be saved. So then my question to you this morning, what is your commitment to make sure that this gets over there? Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We ask for your blessing upon the time to come. We ask for renewed fervor, renewed passion amongst your people for the cause of missions, for your cause, Lord, for the cause that you gave your life for, so that many manifold people might be saved through your word. In your name we ask and we thank you, Father. Amen. Brother Andy.